So it's the time of year for school sports days. Perhaps you've noticed piles of young people streaming out of the Spectrum after school, or lots heading off to school in their themed tops. Perhaps you've been to a sports day to support a child or a grandchild. Maybe you look back at your own sports days with fond memories, or perhaps you look back and shudder at the recollection. Now, whether you were a sports day lover or hater, I think you'll all agree that supporters can really help people do their best. There is something about all that cheering that can really lift the head of the weary and encourage the runners on. The support of the crowd can turn things around. It can help people going, keep going, when they're flagging. Encouragement is a very powerful thing. So the one another that we are looking at today is encourage one another. I don't know if you noticed that when we had our reading there from Hebrews 10. Do take it and turn to it if you'd like to. I'm going to be looking at a few of the verses in that passage from Hebrews. Let me reread you verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, as God's people, we're given lots of these one another commands. As I mentioned earlier, there were 59 one another commands in the New Testament, and one of these 59 is to encourage one another. But we're going to take a step back and have a quick look at this whole little passage to see how the command fits in. You may have noticed when Anne read it that there were three lettuces. Maybe you didn't. Three let us is in this passage. Verse 22. Let us, lettuce, draw near to God. If it was an all-age service, I'd have a lettuce with me, but you're privileged. So verse 22, let us draw near to God. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on. And really that first command, the let us draw near to God, and the third one, let us consider how to spur one another on, they're how we do the second one, holding unswervingly to our hope. Let me explain a bit more. We live in a world that's not that interested really anymore in God and doing life his way. In our country, Christianity is currently a minority option. Our culture is doing its best to distract us from Jesus. And so we must hold on tight. We need to hold on to Jesus and to the hope that he offers without wavering, because our world is going a different way. We need to persevere and hold on. And the passage gives us two vital ways that we must do that. First of all, by drawing near to God. That's the first let us. It's the focus, really, of verses 19 to 22. No one else can do that for you. If you want to hold on to your faith, you cannot keep God at arm's length. You cannot rely on the faith of others. You cannot keep God just for church services. We need to individually draw near to God. But that's not enough, for this is where the third lettuce comes in. Let us consider how to spur one another on. We need to encourage one another to hold on. You see, the truth is that everybody needs some help to hold on, to keep following Jesus. Sometimes everyone else is telling us that God and the church, well, they're really secondary issues, and we're tempted to downplay our faith. Or we're tempted to downplay our involvement. What we need is to be encouraged to keep going. Sometimes the world around us seems so real and so urgent and so busy that God and his ways are crowded out of our daily lives. What we need is to be encouraged to keep going. Sometimes terrible things happen and we're tempted to give up trusting that God loves us and has our best interests at heart. Our prayers may not seem to be answered. We have those nagging doubts that we can't quite answer. We lose our confidence and our assurance that God will welcome us. What we need is to be encouraged to hold fast and keep going. But who should do that? Is it my job? Is it James's job, or Jasmine's job, or Darlene's job, or the pastoral assistant's job? Well, the New Testament would say no. It's our job. All of us. It's your job, and your job, and your job, and your job. It's everybody's job. God calls each of us to encourage one another, to keep on following Jesus. Scripture's clear that we all have a part to play in encouraging somebody else. It doesn't matter whether we're 25, 55, 85. We still have a role to encourage one another. We all need the encouragement of one another. Now, of course, there are one or two people in our church family, aren't there, who are particularly brilliant and amazing at encouraging other people. I expect you can think of one or two. And we're very grateful that God has sent them to us. But the passage doesn't say that we should leave all the encouraging to them. This is something that all of us need to be involved in. Every single one of us. Now, I don't know if you've visited Western United States in your travels over the years, but over there they have the biggest trees in the world, don't they? Americans like to do things big. So they have the big, giant, great redwoods over there. And you'd expect with such enormous height above the ground that they would also have very deep roots underground. But apparently, I'm told, that they actually have a relatively shallow root system. But the way that their gigantic weight is supported is because these roots interlock with the roots of the next door tree, and the next door tree, and the next door tree. So in fact, that great weight is supported by a huge interconnecting root mass underground. And I thought that was a brilliant picture of how we are to encourage and support one another within the church family. We need those interlocking roots with other believers in the church to support the immense heaviness and at times great weight of everyday life. We need others to spur us on. Now that word spur that we read there in verse 24, that's quite an interesting word, isn't it? Now, I'm not a rider, but I do know that a spur is something sharp and spiky that you dig into the side of the horse to encourage it to move on. I can tell that spurs are not subtle, gentle forms of encouragement. They're designed, aren't they, to be a little bit uncomfortable and irritating. That's the point of them. So I had a look at a few other translations of the Bible to see if they too had this sense of slightly uncomfortable encouragement. So the English Standard Version reads in verse 24, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." And the American Standard Version had, "And let us consider how to provoke one another into love and good works." So stir up and provoke are also quite proactive words. They're not really those sort of cuddly, gentle, fluffy words, are they? So I think that's quite interesting as we take on this idea of encouraging one another. It's a sort of proactive, assertive kind of encouragement that the Bible is talking about here. We're to consider, to reflect how to do it, and then to get on with it. We're to make the first move and not wait necessarily till someone comes to us. Now, this may not seem very English. It might seem a little presumptuous, a little forward. But the Bible encourages us to take the initiative in encouraging one another. Verse 24, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." So how do we do this, spurring one another on towards love and good deeds? Well, no doubt there are many ways, and it would be great to go away and reflect on what that might look like for each of us. But there is one very specific way mentioned here in the passage in verse 25, which reads, "Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So how does the writer of Hebrews suggest that we encourage one another? Well, by meeting together. It's not complicated or clever. It's not an impossible goal. But it's something we don't always realise the power of. There is great power in your presence here today. Your presence is powerful in two ways, a general way and a specific way. So generally, by being here this morning, we are encouraging one another. Simply seeing one another here this morning reminds us that we're not alone. We're not the only people trying to hold on to Jesus in this crazy world we live in. We're not the only people who are trying to choose his way. It encourages us to keep going. By being here today, you declare your commitment to Jesus, and you also declare your commitment to one another. By turning up, we show that Jesus matters to us and that the rest of the church matters as well. The other people part of this family, they matter. So we're an encouragement by being here for everyone else today. So in a general way, your presence is very powerful. But specifically, your presence is powerful as well. Because if you are here, then you will connect and talk to other people who are here. And when you do so, you'll discover that there are specific issues that they have got that you may be able to help with or encourage with. Because you are here, you will be able to help people in a different way. You'll hear about specific things. You can connect in a deeper way. There is a huge power in presence. So presence is powerful in a general way, and then specifically, we can connect with real needs. So God says that we must encourage one another by meeting together as a church family. Now obviously we do that together on a Sunday, and some people do that on a Thursday in a service here, but we can also do that in smaller groups. Some of us here are involved in growth groups or in prayer partnerships. And these smaller meetings can be incredibly powerful in helping encourage us and helping us to stand strong in our faith. In encouraging us how to spur one another on towards this idea of love and good deeds the passage talks of. So if that's something you've not considered before or you're not currently involved in, it might be a good thing to reflect on over the summer period. Is that something that you would like to be part of? It's a great way to take seriously that biblical command to meet together and encourage one another. Do chat with me after the service if you'd like to know any more. So our challenge this morning then is to think how we can take practical steps to encourage one another by meeting together. Let's ask ourselves, to whom in the body of Christ am I giving encouragement to today, this week, in the way that I speak, the way that I act, with my presence? And as we start to think about this, we'll find that we too are encouraged and strengthened ourselves to hold on unswervingly to that hope that we profess and discover the extraordinary unity that Jesus prays for his followers. Shall we pray?